Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We thank
Lord, we give you praise and all the honor of your name, because you are champion. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is Pastor Carlos A. Reynolds, of your host, The Way, The Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, here on Blog Talk Radio. And to reach us, 516-418-5944. And if you want to communicate or talk with the host, you have to press the number sign and number one. Glory be to your name. Hallelujah. For those of you out in the other side of the world, because it's dark and you want to leave us a message on the way to the tabernacle, you can put an email to church, wltabernacle@gmail.com, or you could call the pastor right after the program at 7 o'clock, 762-666-3168. But in the meantime, call Blog Talk Radio at 418-5944. Talk with the host, press the number sign and number one. Glory be to God. Today is Sunday, 6 o'clock, more or less, and we're talking about the Bible mysteries. And our topic for today is, what are the five crowns, hallelujah, that a believer can receive? Glory be to the Lord. Let's pray before we start the program. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that you opened this door. You have given us an opportunity to present the program every Sunday at 6 o'clock. Lord, we should bless those behind the scenes on Blog Talk Radio and their family. Give them travel overseas, O Lord, Father God. Help them about for the protection, O Lord. And you to surround them, to watch over the door, Father God, the doors, the walls, the wheels of the homes, Father God. Let harm or danger come their way. In the precious name of Jesus, oh Father God, we know you hear our cry every day and you answer our prayer. So we know, Father God, we thank you for watching the work on Blog Talk Radio behind the scenes. You know they are, Father God, and you know them even before they were in their mother's home. You know every bone that they have, every strain of hair that they have in their head. Father God, somehow, Father God, your word is able to reach them, and they too come to know you as the Savior. Because we know in your word, Lord Jesus, you came and seek to save that which was lost. So thank you, Lord God, for these promises that we ask you to touch our leadership here in America, touch those around the world, Father God, that peace may prevail, and that your name will be glorified. Lord God, in the precious name of Jesus, thank you. Glorify today. And if anything that we have done, Father God, that is unpleasing unto you, repent of our sins. Ask you to have mercy upon us, Lord Father God. Have mercy upon us. Forgive us of our sins. Cover us with our precious brother man, like you did for Israel in the Passover day of Egypt. Put blood on the doorposts, the lentils, and the dens came Passover, Father God, and they celebrated and went out from Egypt, free nation. Glory be, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we thank you, Father God, be with us, and let your words penetrate the hearts, oh Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. He is champion. He is the Lord. He defeated death. He defeated sin. He defeated the grave. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled it. He came to fulfill the law. He didn't come to destroy it. He gave sight to the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. He raised the dead. He to reach out to us, Lord. We thank you. Once again, this is Pastor Carlos Ramos Jr., your host of the Truth Life Tabernacle here on Blog Talk Radio. You can call 516-418-5944. If you like to be the host, you have to press the number 9 and the number 1. that lets me know that you want to talk, and I will bring you on. But glory be to the Lord. And the program we will not address your concerns, prayers, your desires in the name of Jesus. If you have a testimony, a comment, or question, you could call us at Blog Talk Radio. We would encourage you to invite your family and friends here on Blog Talk Radio. Glory to the Lord. Let me share with you that on Tuesday, 6, we have our prayer night from 6 to 7. On Thursday, we have our Bible study from 6 to 7. And we are studying this Christianity real. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And every Sunday at 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio, we are presenting the Bible mysteries. A lot of people point out different scriptures and the mysteries that you have to search the scriptures for the answers. Because the Bible gives itself a description. The Bible explains itself. The revelation comes by way of the Bible and the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth, and truth will make you free. Hallelujah. So we're looking at the question for history is, which are the five crowns that a believer can win, can get, thank you, Jesus, when he goes to be with Christ? When he goes to heaven or on earth, he establishes the millennial kingdom. And you notice that I said, believer could receive, non-believer cannot receive. Hallelujah. It's like a race. If you think back to a race, you have the contestants on the lines of the race. If you're running a race, where it is, 440 or dash, and then you have a lot of spectators. Well, the spectators are not contestants. They cannot win a crown. They cannot win a prize. What they do is they cheer on their favorite contestant. Glory be to the Lord. And every one of them, whoever the amount of contestants are, every one of them are striving to keep themselves on the goal and to finish the race and to win the prize. Glory be to the Lord. So we're going to go through the five different crowns. I'm not going to name the crowns, but we're going to go through the scriptures, and we're going to read what scripture says, and any sites that we might have on the highlights. Glory be to the Lord. The first one we can look at is 1 Corinthians, the New Testament, chapter 9, and we're going to begin at verse 20. And we're going to end with verse 27. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may get the prize. Everyone who competes for the prize usually uses self-control in all things. Now they do it to get a parish crown. If you remember in those days when the Romans perceived they had races, give a crown to the winner, but the crown was made up differently than what you might think. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me read this. So the New Testament speaks of several crowns which Christ's servants may win. Athletes take great pains and undergo rigid training and this discipline to win temporary rewards to get on earth. Should not Christian servants be at least as wise and as dedicated as they? The reward we can get are eternal. The crowns that the Romans give people will be made of leaves and they're perishable. They will fall apart at the end. They will not last forever. But the crown that we will receive is imperishable, incorruptible, and they last for eternity. They get a perishable crown. but we an imperishable one. Therefore, I run accordingly, not uncertainly. I fight accordingly, and like someone who beats the air. But I roughly discipline my body, treated like a slave, lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself will not be approved for the Christ. Glory be. Glory to Jesus. That's what Paul wrote. You know, that's what Paul wrote about it. How about it? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. We are trying to figure out what are the five crowns a believer can receive. We looked at 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, and it gave a they have a race, but they're going to win at the end of the race. And we, hallelujah, from the moment that we acknowledge our sin and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're put into this race of life. And how we run race. Well, he gave an example of how people giving themselves over to discipline. They discipline themselves. How to keep themselves under control. Thank you, Jesus. We study the scriptures. We'll realize that three things that come against us as we continue this race. Number one is our flesh. Now, there's a lot of things that if we don't walk in the spirit, we're going to end up in the flesh. And we find Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh, the nature, that's because of the flesh. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. You know that if you read Genesis, when Adam, Eve, and this serpent had to give an account as to their origins, Adam blamed God for the woman. The woman blamed the serpent. Serpent got cursed to the ground. The Lord cursed the serpent to the ground and unbelly and eat thus all his life. Now, I worked in the medical field for 23.5 years. And in my studies, I learned that the top layer of our skin is where there's a surface of metal underneath that thing. But up to the top layer, dead. Now, the Bible says Genesis, the God created man out of the dust off the ground. And he references now to the earth of the spirit, and man became a living soul. He still can't get away from the flesh. Of the flesh is dead. Our top layer is dead. You could take a bath in the morning, come back in the nighttime, take another bath, and you're going to shed off the dust that was there from the daytime, and there's going to be dirt in that water. Why it's recommended you use some sort of cleanser, soap. Because just like certain animals in the world, they shed the outer covering, we shed our covering as well. And it comes over us. Now, if you study anything about serpents or snakes, you're going to come to realize that there are snakes that the big like anaconda or those type of snakes, they grab you and they squeeze the life out of you and they swallow you whole. There's your skin and they poison. And in this is your system and die. The situation is that you have to understand, brothers and sisters, as you read Ephesians chapter 6, a fight against flesh and blood, with and against principalities and powers. Let me do this, so I want to read it to you correctly. You can read it so you can understand. And beginning with verse 10, chapter 6, Ephesians says, finally, my brother, this is Paul speaking to the Ephesian church, to the church for direction. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the prince of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Take faith that you may be able to resist the devil in the evil day. Having done so, then to stand, glory. And it goes on to explain about the armor. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. But what happens is that the devil is empty, without a body, and could detect when you're operating in the flesh, because you're shedding dust. And if you remember back in Genesis, the dust is what the serpent eats all his life. So when you are shedding dust, you're operating in the realm of the serpent. So he knows you. The devil knows you. He knows your weakness. He knows what you're after. He knows what you want. He knows your desires. You know? So when you are out doing the wrong thing, you're shedding dust from your body because the outer layer of the body is dead. He's recognizing this dust, the sinful nature that you're in your flesh. He's still, the devil can't make you do anything unless you're not a born-again Christian. Then he can manipulate you as will. But if you're a born-again Christian, he doesn't solve your form of temptations. Being tempted on a sin, but falling into temptation, giving yourself into your flesh and desires, is sin. And what is sin? Sin is speaking of the law of God. According to John, 1 John. And if you look at Isaiah 59:1-2, we're separated from God. Hallelujah. So what happens when you do commit sin, you are in the wrong world? You see talk to the guy, you see a beautiful girl, and you look at her. Okay. You know, it's human nature. But when you look again with lustful eyes, that's a sin. You have committed adultery in your mind with her already. Same thing with the woman. They see a nice-looking guy, a gentleman. They look at him, he's cool, he's debonair. They look again, that's also sin, that's also adultery in the mind. So you desire something that is not yours. That's breaking the commandment. You're coveting something that's not yours. If you're married, then you have become adulterous, fornicator. You don't say that Jesus fulfilled the law, and he did, but still under the moral law, the Ten Commandments. If you look at the New Testament correctly, you're going to see where Peter, Paul, and Jesus all spoke about the law indirectly and directly. As a matter of fact, Paul, Timothy, in Timothy 1 and 8, it says that the Lord is good. If it's true, lawful, glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the works of the flesh or the sinful nature are these, which are these: adultery, fornication, impurity, lewdness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousies, rage, self-ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, and the like. Concerning these things, I tell you in advance, just as I have told you in time past, that those who go on doing such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, that's why we have to be very careful that we walk in the Spirit if we're born again Christians. And if you're not a born again Christian, then you need to seek God's favor in your life so Christ can save you from this onward world and generation, because the devil will do with you whatever he wants. He tempts Christians in these areas. But I just want to you work the flesh. When Paul wrote to the Galatians, this is talking about Christians, talking about unbelievers. And Christians are doing this well. So there's three that come against them: Satan, the flesh, the world, right? Satan, the flesh, and the world. And we have to be very careful. One thing with the serpents, going back to the serpents, is that they don't have very good eyesight. They feel the vibrations on the ground, able to recognize different temperatures. They are able to smell well, but they don't have good eyesight. So when a snake bites you, it doesn't know if it's biting a human being or a cow. It doesn't know. And snakes do it as a defense. Grabs you. He squeezes the life out of you. And that's what happens, you know, in this world. The enemy knows what you're going through and how to tempt you. And, you know, sometimes he presents this to you that, oh, my God, it's detrimental to your life because it takes up so much of your time. And it's squeezing the life out of you because you will do anything that then others, they bite you and they inject poison into your body, affects your neural system or your cardiovascular system. Same thing in the world. You know, when the enemy tempts you and you're falling into sin, you know, you go to the pub and you see a beautiful girl and right away you're begin to rage it, and you want to begin thinking of different things to do with this girl, and you desire her, and it's like, forget about it, lost your mind. It's like it's injected poison into your neural system. You don't think the right way. Same thing with a woman. A woman could have a beautiful home. They could have a beautiful marriage. They could have kids or whatever. But they decide, you know what, I need to go to the gym. And go to the gym. And, you know, guys are very shrewd. And they begin to rap to you and talk to you and whisper sweet nothings in your ear. And sometimes you fall for it. And the enemy just bit you. And poison your cardiovascular system. And your heart is racing. Mind is going to house property. You're not sure what you want to do. You know? you have all these beautiful things at home, but somebody's presenting something to you that is very attractive. The enemy does that. He presents something to you that's very attractive. You know? And so we have to be very careful that we don't fall into the things of the enemy, because what happens is, holds your weak spots. To control you, he's going to want you to give up your faith. He's going to want you to live holy and righteous the way God wants you to live. You know, the Bible says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. So why are you going to take that chance to walk in unholiness? And it calls his church home, and he comes back and finds wanting, not winning the prize because you did not finish the race of life to the right. You're going to lose out. This body is temporal. Like I said, the top layer of your skin is dead. We got 8 layers to our skin. Top layer is dead. And it's a temporary thing. Body refreshes itself. You know, when the body is dead, the player is dead. It refurbishes its temple body. But then after you leave the body, you enter into eternity. Where are you going to spend eternity? Are you going to spend eternity with the Lord ever and ever? Are you going to spend eternity in the fire with Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, all the beasts, and all those that were destroyed? Once you leave this body, that's it, my brother. There's no second chance. You know, all the people that come on TV and they say they've been to heaven, they've been to hell, that's their perception, their dreams, because the Bible says you can't cross back. Once you're there, you can't cross back. You know, if you go to heaven, you're not crossing back to earth. You're not crossing back to earth. Because they ask you the same thing. He said, you're alive, they won't believe. And Jesus Christ died, was buried, and resurrected on the third day. They didn't believe it. As a matter of fact, even unto this day, Christians are being persecuted for their belief, their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we know he's the true Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. But there's a lot of people that believe in Jesus Christ. They want to believe their own thing. Out of all the religions that are out there, all the beliefs that are out there, only one empty sepulcher, and that's where Jesus was. He resurrected the third day. According to the scriptures, he died. He was buried according to the scriptures. He resurrected on the third day according to the scriptures. Nobody else. Many people out there preaching about other prophets, you can find their bones in the graves. You can't find the body of Christ in the grave. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, hallelujah. We're going to go into 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to begin at verse 18 through 19, also. And let's see what it says. But we, brethren, for a short time, be removed from you in person, but not in heart. With great longing, made every effort to see you, your face. Therefore, we want to be by Paul or the ones, but Satan under us. What our hope or crown, is it not you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are all glory and joy, speaking to the Thessalonians. You read the scriptures that I'm giving you, you should figure out 5 different crowns that a believer receives. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, Paul was speaking to the Thessalonians, and he said something. He said, Satan hinders us. The Christians talk, you know, and Satan knows who you are, really. You know, when the sons of Levi came to exercise someone who was possessed, the demon said to them, Jesus, I know. I know. Who are you? Yeah. So the devil knows who you are if you're playing games. It's real. Would you, if you believe your faith? If you truly have been born again, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, you must be born again of the Spirit and the water to inherit the kingdom of God. What is he saying to us? Well, we could check our ancestry all the way back to Adam and Eve because we were born of the flesh. But we need to be born of the Spirit of God in order to live holy, in order for the Spirit of God to act and direct us into all truth. So that's why Jesus said you must be born again. So not of the flesh, but we need to be born of the Spirit. And that's why he said to Nicodemus, the wind blows off, but you don't know where it's going. You don't know where it's going. That's what it is to be born again. It's an act of faith. You receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith. You're saved by faith through grace. It's the gift of God that's made you boast. There's nothing that anyone could do to gain salvation. The only one person who did something was Jesus Christ. He had to give his life. He's no greater than this than a man laid down his life for. And so he had to give his life cross. He had to die. He had to give his body, his back to the whipping. He had to give his head to the crown of thorns. He had to give his hands, his feet to the nails. He had to give his eye to the puncture wound of the spear, and blood gushed out of water. Jesus Christ did something. Why did he do that? Because he loves you. He did it for you. So you have to spend eternity in hell. You could see what he did on the cross and ask for forgiveness. And he will forgive us. As a matter of fact, when you read the book of Acts chapter 17, it says, you know, one time God winked at these things, these excuses that mankind say. But he says, at this time, command anyone everywhere to repent and to come to the knowledge of the truth, because he's going to judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ. And he's patient. Why is he patient? Because patience. Because he wants to forgive you. Patience caused him to forgive you. Waiting, waiting, and waiting. He don't want to pronounce judgment now. Getting very close. But he don't want to pronounce judgment now. He's giving an opportunity to discern, to turn from your wicked ways, so you can inherit the kingdom of God. With all the troubles that we have in this world, imagine being able to make it in and having to go with eternity apart from God. So Satan hinder us because he don't want to walk holy. He can't walk holy. He doesn't have a family, so he destroys families. Whatever excuses that a person comes up with is the destruction of the family unit. About the Antichrist, that he's not going to be a lover of woman. So we have to be very careful out there, brothers and sisters. We have this different there's none. We have the female gender, male gender, and now we have transgender. And transgender. You know what? Before the eyes of God, God created the human being. He created male and females. People walk around with confusion in their mind. And the devil has them under his control because of sin. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So that the death sentence has been pronounced upon everyone. You could escape the death sentence and have eternal life in Jesus Christ. In the book of Romans, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. To those who walk after the Spirit and after the flesh. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, all things have become new. Behold, all things have passed away. When you repent of the sin to your life, he doesn't see the old you because the old you is dead, passed away. He's into you, and new you is Christ, his son. And he gives you a guarantee of heaven. Glory be, glory be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to our third description. And it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. And Paul is speaking to Timothy. He says, For I am now being Paul as his girlfriend. So we see Paul is coming to the end of his life. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. You see, brothers and sisters, and the race that we're running, we have to finish. We can't quit. We have to finish in order to make it in. You don't see no way here where Paul says, I lost first place. No, I have finished my race. So whether you come in third, whether you're still finishing the race. In God's eyes, you finished the race. And look what it says. I have kept the faith. And that's what God wants you to do. Keep the faith to finish the race. Now there is reserved for me a crown, which the Lord, righteous judge, will give me that day. And not to me only, but also to all those who love his appearing. Crown. Greek word here does not mean the sort of crown we wear. It means a wreath made of leaves which was given to the winners of athletics contests in those days. Paul, his Passover, looked forward to his crown. Crown of thanks, crown which is the reward of righteous life he lived, a reward fighting against righteousness, running a righteous race, and keeping the righteous faith concerning glory to the Lord. Look, Paul was looking for that crown because he finished the race. Now, am I saying that you're going to receive all five crowns? I have to answer and say, I don't know. I don't know what God is in his to do. The Bible says, or the Lord says, his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are his thoughts. Just as heaven is high above the earth, so is his thoughts. So I don't know, you know, the number of crowns. I know there's five according to the word of God. See, five, one, two, three, it's two. I'm not putting God in no box. And I don't listen to anyone who puts God in us. Paul says, now there is reserved for me a crown. You know, the moment you mention the name of Jesus Christ, The word of God says, when you receive him as your Lord and Savior, you ask for forgiveness. Your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Once your name is written down, there is a crown reserved for you. Which one, I don't know. How many, I don't know. Only God knows. There are certain things that we will know, you know. Only God knows. And when we see him face to face, we will know. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next one. It's 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll read from verse 1 down through 4. Now we have Peter, who also is the disciple and apostle of Jesus Christ. He wrote to the elders in the churches. Elder could be pastor, could be bishop, could be a leader of the church who's leading the flock or directing. And this is what it says to the elders. I, Peter speaking, I urge the elders who are among you, I who also am an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also share in the glory that will be revealed. Keep the fire of God among you, serving as overseer for sordid gain. I looked at sordid as S-O-R-D-I-D. It's talking about self-gain. You do it for yourself. You know, you do it for greediness. But with a ready mind, not like Lord over inheritance, being exposed to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown. It will be a glorious reward for faithful elders, faithful pastors. So that's what God is looking for of the pastors, for them to do the right thing. The pastors, we lord over the flock. The flock is ours. It's temporary. Allow those who punish to guide and direct people in the way they should go. Hallelujah. The next one, we are going to James chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, blessed is the man, for when he has success, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And let's see the side note. Up rank appears again in Revelation 2:10. There too, it is promised to those faithfully endure trial. In other words, those of genuine faith who prove their faith and their love. Such those are the five crowns that we have possibly to receive. And we go before Christ at the judgment seat. You know, God is good. Carlos A. Ramos, the host of Story, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, and you can call us 516-418-5544. Press the number sign and if you want to speak to the host, if you have a comment, question, we welcome that and we encourage you. Invite your family, friends, neighbors to this presentation. Our presentation will be on Tuesday at 6 o'clock when we have a wonderful prayer time. We would encourage you on Tuesday's prayer time to be fasting. How long be fasting is between you and God. Ask God to guide you in that right in the way that you should. And basically, you fast because you want to deny the flesh. And you want to get close in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If no one calls, answers the five crowns, if they don't pronounce it, then I'm going to hold that next time. In about was our schoolmaster? What was our schoolmaster? That'll be next Sunday at 6 o'clock. What was our schoolmaster? And reason I study the word. I want you to grow spiritually. I want you to have your question written down. I want you to look up in your Bible. You should have concordance. You have dictionary. You know, I have different Bibles. I got the Blue Bible. I got the Pastoral Bible. I have the Red Bible. All these things. My Lord Bible. And all these things, I have it, many Bibles. And they serve for references. And so I have a clear understanding of what the writer at that time. I also want you to have some commentaries on different verses or Bibles that you have from different writers. And most importantly, pray. And you have the Holy Spirit of God to direct you in the way to go studies so you would come to understand. Now, Jesus said to the disciples, you have not because you have not. So you should, when you ask by way of the Holy Spirit, to reveal to you what you should study and what you should read, which book of the Bible, so you have a better understanding. I pray that during the week you have studied church, you go there. If you have Sunday school on Sundays, you go there. But brother, Pastor Carlos, I preach on Saturday. That's okay. If you do the Book of Corinthians, Paul said, some worship, but they feel they worshiping God. We worship God on Sunday because Jesus Christ resurrected Sunday, less than Lord's Day. But if you worship on Wednesday, or Tuesday, the main thing is that you worship. But you cannot hold yourself some churches to some brothers to hold themselves to one particular day of constantly. That's, in my opinion, not very, because what if you make to that next day? People, they believe this day is just Friday to Saturday. Sabbath is every day, because we're worshiping Christ every day. We should be worshiping God every day. But some people say, what if on Wednesday, you know, they have a heart attack, they call home, are they going to make it in? Are they going to make it in or not going to make it in because if to that Saturday? That is a question that an individual should have between them and God, which is the proper day to. I have been in everything because the Bible clearly states, my brothers and sisters, and I hope you understand what this word says. It clearly states tomorrow is not promised to someone. It is appointed to man once to die and then the judgment. The Sabbath day, it was just meant the Jews, but it was the Lord's day. The Lord rested on the Sabbath, on the seventh day. And those people who put themselves under the law, they have to keep the whole law. They can't keep part of the law. Problem with people who keep the law these days is that from 70 AD, to the present, there is no tabernacle in Jerusalem. They tried to build a third tabernacle, there's no tabernacle. So not certain things at the tabernacle, they're violating the law. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I worship you and I thank you. I'm talking about five crowns that a believer could obtain. Why do we go in this avenue? Maybe there's somebody out there who has a question mark. And I would like to say is that you look up your word, look up everything to talk about the Sabbath day, and take it to the Lord in prayer. Let the Holy Ghost, in the presence of Jesus Christ, guide you and direct you. The Holy Ghost, he will not contradict his word, and he would always lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can take the place of Jesus Christ. Time, Israel used to worship the serpent and the pole, then the tabernacle, and God took all that away. But he gave Jesus a name, every other name, that in the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father. And that's what we had these days, my brothers and sisters. Nothing can be greater than Jesus Christ. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And until next day, for the Lord bless you, richly bless you. Amen and amen.